There's no doubt that we serve a great God who's certainly given us many things to live for. I'm thankful to be able to be here. It's good to see each and every one of you. And those that are visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. We hope that you come and be with us at every opportunity that you have. If you will, open your Bibles again to Hebrews chapter 11. I encourage you to follow along with me as we consider what the Scriptures say this morning. Next week, Lord willing, as you're turning there, we are going to present a lesson entitled Beyond the Veil. And so I hope that you'll perhaps read from the book of Hebrews between now and then and get ready to hear that sermon. Last week we presented a sermon that was entitled, Are We Different Today? And we looked at a few examples from the Scriptures of individuals who had behavior that we should not have today. This morning we're going to look at a lesson that is similar to that, but we're going to be asking the question, are we the same? And we're going to look at some examples of behavior from the Scriptures that we should have today. Many examples of individuals throughout the pages of God's Word that provide very good examples for us on the way that we should live today, the attitudes that should prevail today. We're going to ask the question, are we the same? You recall that from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we have cataloged for us just several examples of individuals who lived a life that was pleasing to God, who the Bible says that these died in faith. And they're examples for us as we consider the life that we live today. This is often referred to as a hall of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. Right after this chapter closes and chapter 12 begins, there's two statements or verses that are found at the beginning. The Bible simply says in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, when you look into chapter 11 and you see all those examples, he says that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We could think about the attitudes and the lifestyles that prevailed among so many of the Bible, and what such great examples that they provide for us that really we wouldn't have to get out of Hebrews chapter 11. We could spend the rest of the time this morning looking at all these individuals that are there. I want us to begin in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want us to think about this individual that we read about, 2 Kings chapter 4, and begin with verse number 8. The Bible says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. I want us to think about this for just a moment. Here was a prophet of God. Remember, a prophet was someone who was assigned this work to speak on God's behalf. And Elisha was certainly a great prophet that tried to warn the people to do what God would have them to do. And he was busy about doing the will of God. And so the Bible says that he passed to this place and there was a great woman. What made her great? Let's read. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither and he turned into the chamber and lay there. What a great example of hospitality we have with this Shunammite lady, this lady of Shunem. I want to ask you this morning, are we busy about adding on to that which we have to share with others? What a great example we have. Here was a lady who said, I perceive that this man is a man of God, and she tells her husband, let's make a chamber for this man. That shouts hospitality, doesn't it? Here's somebody who was concerned about someone else, and she said, let's do this. Let's add this chamber, and let's put in there a table and a light and a stool and a bed. So that when this man comes, he'll have provision. He can be here. And the Bible says that he went there, he turned in, and he lay there. I suggest to you this morning that it's what's needed today in our time. If never before, we need more people like this Shunammite lady who's concerned about other individuals, don't we? So what happens is we live in such a world today that we say, well, preacher, we're so busy about doing things. And I may even say from time to time, well, I'm so busy about doing this and I'm busy about doing that. Before we know it, we're so busy that we've not been considerate about others. What a great example we have. You know, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime are for our learning. This is an example of an individual that we need to be like today. Are we hospitable? Are we concerned about others? We're hospitable and we're considerate about others. It means that we're willing to share what we have with other people. There needs to be more people like this Shunammite lady today, doesn't there? More people that say, I'm concerned about my neighbor. I'm concerned about the person on the other side of the road, across the street, that I work with. People that I know and people that I meet, I'm concerned about them. I want to help them. You know, we're commanded to do that as individuals. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, or 10 rather. When the Bible says there, if we have opportunity, let us do good unto them, to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do we do that? Here's a good example of a lady who was concerned about that. And evidently, she was able to convince her husband of the importance of doing that good deed because they did it. Took care of this prophet of God. What a great example that we have. There's another one that I want to share with you. We also read about a man named Ezra. Another prophet of God. And there's a statement that is made by him in Ezra chapter 7. I encourage you to turn over there with me. Ezra chapter 7. The Bible says here, concerning him, the Bible says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Again, I suggest to you that we need to be more like this man was, who had the disposition of heart, who said, I want to do what the Lord would have me to do. Now notice what the Bible says again about it. He says that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. How are we doing on that today? Do we have the disposition of heart that says, I want to do what the Lord would have me to do? And then we study His Word to find out what God would have us to do, and then we do it. Notice that it goes on to say, after he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, the Bible says, and to do it. It's not enough just to know the knowledge. It's not enough just to say, I know what the Scriptures teach. But we have to go further, don't we? I have to say, I'm going to prepare my heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. To obey Him. The Bible teaches us concerning Christ in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. We need to have that attitude. But the text doesn't stop there relative to Ezra. The Bible says that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Here was a man that prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to obey it, and to teach it to others. We need to do that today, don't we? Jesus gave that commandment to the apostles in Matthew chapter 28 when he told them to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them, he says, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We also need to understand that we don't want to get things out of the proper order. Sometimes we seek to teach others what we're not doing ourselves. Got to be careful about that, don't we? Good example is found in Jesus when it comes to that. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says there, The former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The doing comes before the teaching. And here was a man, Ezra, a prophet of God, who had the disposition of heart, I'm going to seek the law of the Lord, I'm going to do it, I'm going to share it with others. We need to do the same thing today and do what the Lord would have us to be doing. What about Mary? As we think about individuals in the Bible who had the right heart, they had the right attitude, they had the right disposition of character that said, I want to do what the Lord would have me to be doing. There's a statement that she made in the second chapter of the book of John. And if more people would make this statement and be genuine about it and live by it and suggest it to others, the world would be a greater place to live. John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they had no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now I want you to notice verse number 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Oh, what great advice that is. What a great statement that is found in those words of Mary. Whatever he says to you, do it. Do we need more people like that today? That would have the attitude and the mind that would sit down with the Bible and say, whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. How about that example we have in this individual? You see, many times we study the Bible, we sit down to read the Bible, we think about finding out what God wants us to do, and perhaps we come to the knowledge of it, but we don't put it into practice. Or, did you know how specific the statement was that she made? Now, she didn't say, maybe some of the things he tells you to do, or pick and choose what you want to. What does she say in that passage? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So we don't have the option to say, I'll pick and choose, I'll take some things and I'll leave other things that God has commanded us to do. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. We need more attitudes like this today. We need to surround ourselves with individuals who have this disposition that says, whatever God says to do, do it. I'm going to live for the Lord. Do you want to live for the Lord and go to heaven in the after while? I do too. But if we do, we're going to have the attitude that says, whatsoever he saith, do it. But there's another one that I want to share with you. And that's the apostles. Now, many examples in the apostles could be stated. Now, here was a group of individuals, these individuals that were selected by the Lord, and they followed the Lord, and they forsook all, followed the Lord, and was a witness to all those great deeds that Jesus did. And here was a man that they were with for about 3 years or so, and eyewitnesses to the things that he did. And he was murdered. Crucified. Slain. Put to death. By the hands of wicked men. That wasn't the end of Jesus, was it? Third day, rose again. So we've had about 40 days speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1 teaches us. They were with him, and along the way, one of the conversations that he had with him is found in John chapter 14. No doubt their hearts were troubled about things that were going on, probably numerous things. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled, John 14:1. You believe in God, believe also in me. Remember that? And he talks to them about the fact that he was going to prepare a place for them, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then Thomas asked that question, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And in verse 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Sending them out among wolves to preach the gospel. so that souls could hear, believe, and obey. Have the forgiveness of their sins at heaven to be their home. And then they were imprisoned, rejected. Could you imagine that? How sad it is that we read what they did to the Lord, and here was a man full of compassion. Came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. The apostles are now doing what the Lord said to do, and they're going out to teach the wonderful news of the gospel. And here they are, mistreated. In prison. Beaten. Acts chapter 5. But then there's a statement found in Acts chapter 5 in verse number 29. Perhaps the Jews who wanted to mistreat them would perhaps thought, well, if we just beat them or we threaten them, that'll put an end to it. That'll stop them. But then notice what the Bible says in Acts 5 and verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. What a great example that we have today. Talk about persistent. We talked about that in the Bible class this morning. Here's men who are persistent. And the Bible says, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, verse number 42. What a great example. Do we need more people like the apostles today who will say we will obey God rather than man? We live in a time where people still want to silence the truth. Satan doesn't want you to know the truth. He doesn't want you to believe the truth and have the forgiveness of your sins. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. But God does. Our Lord does, and He's provided for us His Word. We need to have the attitude that says, come what may, I'm going to obey God rather than man. I'm going to do what God's Word says. And I'll rest my faith in what the Scriptures teach, knowing that when I stand before the Lord on the great judgment day, heaven will be my home, because we've done what the Lord said to do. There's another example that I want to share with you. And that's the example of Paul. We talked about Paul for a little while in the Bible class this morning. There's a statement that Paul made to those at Corinth. And here was a man that suffered. And he was stoned. He was persecuted. He says that he suffered stripes 3 different occasions. At least at the time that he wrote that. Shipwreck. Cold. Hunger. Thirst. And notice what the Scriptures say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse number 15, Paul says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now, there's a lot of different thoughts among men about what that statement means. But notice what he's saying. Paul is saying, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I will do you service gladly. I'll gladly be taking advantage of individuals. I'll do you service. I'll do what I can to be spent for you and to spend. We need more people like that today that have the attitude that says, I will do all that I can gladly. Very gladly. For my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll do all that I can to help them, to be there for them. You know how tragic of a scene that would have been the night that the Lord was arrested to be crucified? He was arrested, and the Bible says His disciples fled from Him, didn't they? How tragic. We need people today in the church that will say, I'll be there for you. We understand that God will never leave us or forsake us. The Hebrew writer saying in Hebrews 13 verse 4. But we need to be there for one another. And gladly do that. To lift up the hands of our brothers and sisters in Christ. and say, I know what you're going through. I know what it means to be persecuted and to have trials and tribulations and difficulties and hard times while we're here. But I'll very gladly be there for you. We get so busy sometimes that we don't think about others. People get sick and we know they're sick and we get so busy that before you know it, the week's gone and we catch ourselves and we say, you know what? I was so busy this week I didn't think about trying to help someone. And that can happen. But we need more and more people that will say, I will do all that I can while I can to help others. There's another example that I think will go far in helping us to have the right attitude, and that's a lady by the name of Dorcas. You know about this lady, Acts chapter 9, and begin with verse number 36. The Bible says that there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good deeds and her good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. When they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And when she opened her eyes and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. I suggest to you that there need to be more Dorcases in the church today. There needs to be more people that are like this lady was. How encouraging is it when we're down and out and we're frustrated and we're discouraged and maybe when we're sick and we're not feeling well, then someone takes the time to do a good deed for us, a good work. Notice that the Bible says that she was full of good works, verse number 36, and alms deeds. People knew it. Her life was a testament to the things that she did. Kind of goes back to that adage that says, you don't have to tell me you love me. Show me that you love me. I'll know that you love me by what you do. You've heard that before. Here was a lady that was full of these good works and people knew about it. And here came Peter and the Bible says, verse number 39, when Peter arose and went with him, he was come. They brought him into the upper chamber and all the widows stood by him weeping. And what were they showing him? Weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. Are you persuaded that there needs to be more people like Dorcas today that are full of good works and deeds, not to be seen of men? The Lord taught against that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Said, don't do those good works, don't do those deeds to be seen of men. If you do, you have your reward already. Pat on the back. The praise of men. Don't do that, he says. But do it in secret, that men, when they see your good works, would glorify your Father in heaven, or your Father that seeth in secret will reward you openly. Let your light so shine, he says, that others may see and give God the glory. We need more individuals that way. And it's not just for the ladies. Not just for the ladies. Men need to be busy about doing good deeds too. And doing good works, being full of alms deeds to help other individuals. What a great example that we have. But there's one more that I want to share with you this morning. You could probably guess who I'm going to put next on the screen. As we think about the good examples that we have in the Scriptures, of all the examples that we have, none would surpass the example of Christ our Lord. I came to do Thy will, O God. Two times that's stated concerning the Lord in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 and 9. I come to do Thy will, O Lord. He taketh away the first thing, he may establish the second. Took the Old Testament lie all the way and gave us a new one that is built upon better promises. What an example. When we read about Jesus, we don't read about a man who is so self-centered that he didn't think about anybody else but himself. As a matter of fact, at one particular time, he made this statement, I don't have a home like people have where they can go back and they can lay their head in the same place upon the same pillow night after night after night. I don't have that. You're talking about someone who is full of compassion. You think about that as he's passing on the way. Remember the individual that was blind? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Try to get the man to be quiet. Some of those, be quiet, don't. And more he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I read that and I think about what a great scene that must have been. And here Jesus said, what would you have me do for you, Lord, that I might receive my sight? And Jesus restored his sight, gave him his sight. And the man was able to see. Why did the Lord do that? He was a man of compassion. And he came to the cross. Not because we deserve it. Not because, he had to do it. He didn't have an option but to do it. He willingly went to the cross, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Tasted death for every man. That's for you and that's for me. So much so that he was able to say, it is finished. John chapter 19 and verse 30. He did what God wanted him to do because he loves us. God loves us. He loves you. And he wants you to go to heaven. He's made every provision for that. Sent his Son into the world, John 3:16, commendeth his law toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. And Jesus did his part, didn't he? Died that cruel death. We can't even imagine the pain and the suffering that he endured. But he did it for you and for me. And then God revealed his word to us. And we have it recorded in the Bible so that we can open it up and we can say this is what God would have us to do, to have the forgiveness of our sins. And I know that if I do the Father's will and I live a life that is faithful to God, God will give me that crown of life in the afterwhile. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Do you want to go to heaven? I've asked that at least a couple times in the lesson this morning. If you do, you can. If you obey the gospel and live faithful to God and you become a Christian by doing exactly what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian, that hasn't changed. And though the world may stand for another 1,000 years, it will still say the same thing. That's what God says to do, to have the forgiveness of your sins, to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe it? Willing to repent of your sins, Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. You're willing to make that confession before those present this morning that, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus commands it, Matthew 10:32-33. Have an example of that, Acts 8:37, with the man from Ethiopia. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. To arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church by the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse number 47. And like the eunuch, you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that tonight is this day were your last day of your earthly pilgrimage, and you lay your head down on the pillow tonight, you can go to sleep with a blessed assurance that heaven will be your home because you have obeyed the Lord and lived faithful to Him. We'll assist you in doing that. Perhaps you have done that, but you've fallen away. You've turned your back on the Lord and you're not living right. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness like Simon was told to do by Peter in Acts chapter 8. We'll encourage you to do that. If we can assist you in any way, your obedience to the gospel, why not come right now?
Amen.
Hear the sweet voice.